Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Have you ever come across that verse in Matthew chapter 5 that talks about adultery and gotten a little bit scared? It's an important verse, and it's one that we really need to understand. What exactly was Jesus saying about adultery? Well, that's what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Now, before we get to that, I'd like to remind you that you can send your questions in to Bob and Sean through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's episode. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions, which you can send to radio@faithalone.org. Here is a question from Jenna, Jenna V, but her email says Jenna, so let's assume that's it, from Matthew 5, 27 to 30. She says, that verse seems to say that if you commit adultery and don't repent, that you'll go to hell. And yet, based on the whole of Scripture, that can't be the correct interpretation. What is Jesus actually saying here? I know eternal security is true, so what is the verse about adultery really saying? So Matthew 5, 27 to 30, and here's what it says in the New King James, okay. All right? You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. There's hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So there's hell again. Well, Bob, let's break this down a little bit. So first of all, this verse is about adultery, and probably, maybe some people, they've never heard what adultery is or why it's wrong.
What's interesting is Jesus is actually explaining the Ten Commandments to them. You've heard, but I say.
Right.
And so he's explaining to them that although literal physical adultery is committing a sexual act with someone who's married, not to you, but to someone else, there also is the point that if you simply lust after a person, that is a type of adultery too.
So this is in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the
right.
ten that God wrote with his own finger on the tablet.
Right.
And that means the only type of sex that is in bounds is between a husband and a wife.
Correct.
Anything else is out of bounds. But
right.
specifically, I guess with that command, it's don't cheat on your wife, don't cheat on your husband.
Right. And this is, of course, related to covetousness, too, the last of the Ten Commandments, because you're coveting another person's spouse.
Right.
And the Lord isn't trying to say here that lusting after a person is equally bad as committing adultery.
So if you committed adultery in the Old Testament, you were supposed to be stoned to death.
Correct.
But if you thought about it, you're not supposed to be stoned to death.
Right. And the Lord isn't saying here that someone should be stoned to death if they have committed adultery in their heart. So he's not trying to make an exact equivalence. But what he's saying here is this is sin, and it's a serious sin.
Right.
And the point here is not if you see someone and you're attracted to them that you've just committed adultery. What it becomes is if you see someone that's not your spouse and you begin to fantasize,
mm-hmm.
you're cultivating this thought. This
right.
is a willful decision for you to do that. Then you have committed adultery in your heart.
Right.
And that's something you need to confess. It's something that needs to change in your life because that's not healthy.
Right.
That's not a good thing. Our, you know, if you read the Song of Solomon or you read Proverbs, our delight should be in our spouse, not somebody else's spouse. So that's the first thing. But let me say that I think Jenna starts out beautifully. Did you notice that she said at the beginning that we know that can't be right? She said because of other scripture.
Right. She says, it seems to say that if you commit adultery and don't repent, then you're going to go to hell. And yet, based on the whole scripture, that can't be the correct interpretation. I know eternal security is true.
Right. We know from John 3:16, the only condition of everlasting life and not perishing is believing in Jesus.
Right.
Nothing about not lusting after someone.
And yet, here's Jesus saying, if you do it, isn't he saying that you're going to go to hell?
Okay. Well, whatever he's saying, Jenna is correct, can't contradict clear scripture. So even if we went to the grave never knowing what this passage meant, we can know for sure what it doesn't mean. It
right.
doesn't mean that you're going to the lake of fire if you don't live a righteous life.
Because salvation isn't based on works, either in getting it in the first place or keeping it at all. You know,
right.
It's like you didn't deserve it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it.
Right. I think of Ephesians 2, 8, 9, not of works. I think of John 6, 28 and 29. The only work Jesus said that God accepts is that you believe in him whom he sent.
Right.
And so it's not a work, it's a gift. He told the woman at the well, Jesus did, it's the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God.
Yeah.
And you see the same thing in Revelation 22, 17, that he gives this water of life
yeah.
freely.
Right.
Now let's get into what it could mean.
Now, there's one thing that we're always talking about on this show, we've mentioned it many times, is that people have this idea that after you die, there's only two options. You're either going to be in heaven forever, or you're going to be in this place called hell forever. And we've talked before about neither of those options are completely right.
That's right. There are actually three heavens. The first heaven, which is the air around the earth. The second heaven, which is basically outer space. And the third heaven, which is the place where God's glory dwells and where Paul says he was caught up in 2 Corinthians 12. He says he was caught up into the third heaven. That's where the saints are now. But that's not where we're going to spend eternity. It's going to be the new earth.
See, I always tell people, heaven is kind of like Chicago O'Hare Airport.
That's right. You're on your way somewhere else.
Everyone goes there, but no one's actually going there permanently. It's just a layover until your real destination.
And in terms of hell, there's a lot of confusion because the normal words translated hell, in the New Testament, it's Hades.
Right.
Which is part of Greek mythology, by the way.
Yeah.
They've got this god, Hades. Then you've got Sheol in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word.
Right.
And they both refer to the place of the dead. That's not where people are going to spend eternity either. According to Revelation 20, 15,
right.
anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Lake of fire.
And he specifically says in the previous verses, verses 12 and 13, that death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah, so even Hades isn't. So basically, people don't realize this, but if you're a good student of the word, I mean, this has been known for a long time. One of my favorite books is by Clarence Larkin, who is an
yes.
old-time dispensational Baptist guy, and he has a book called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. He has another one called The Spirit World, and he lays out these maps. He had these wonderful charts of the underworld. You have like the hot part, you have Hades, like the hot part of it, the torment part.
Right.
Then you have paradise, Abraham's bosom. That's like the nice part of Hades.
Luke 16, 19 through 31. Yeah.
Right. So there's those two options. You have Tartarus, which apparently is where the fallen angels who intermarried with women in Genesis 6. There is the pit. There's the abyss.
Right.
And then you have the lake of fire in the future.
Right. And there's also Gehenna, which is this verse.
So in your translation where it might say hell, I think the King James says that, the New
right.
King James does, that's not the word. It's this thing called Gehenna. So that's the first part of Jenna's answer here. What is Jesus warning about, do you think? What is Gehenna?
There's basically two options. Option number one is Gehenna refers to Hades, and the Lord's just using a different word. That seems a bit odd, because why wouldn't he just use Hades, which, or Sheol, and if he spoke in Hebrew, they would translate it as Hades.
And he does use those terms elsewhere, like you say.
And so here, you've got the situation where this may refer to judgment in this life.
Okay, so why would you say that?
Well, there was a valley outside of Jerusalem where they would burn trash, and this word Gehenna is thought by many scholars to refer to that, where there's a perpetual burning of trash, and it would refer to judgment in this life, and the point would be, it would be better to give up on what you're seeing, the eye, or what you're doing, the hand. It would be better to give up those things and to have a full life than to have your life cut short and judged by God because you're walking in sin. So that is one option. Basically, what it would be saying is it's better for you not to lust after other people and have your life ruined
yeah.
than it is to give that up and have a full life.
And I think there's probably a lot of cheating husbands who've come home to all of their clothes and stuff on the front lawn of their house because they've just been kicked out, maybe.
Right, and they end up getting divorced, and they don't get to see their kids.
And if they're
a pastor, they lose their church, or they lose
their reputations and their livelihoods and all that stuff. So that's one option.
There's a third one
that we discussed.
Well, it could refer literally to Hades. And if that's the case, then what the Lord would be saying is it's better to give up something that is distracting you rather than to be cast into Hades.
Well, now, a believer can't be cast into Hades,
right? So if you take this view, it would be referring to an unbeliever, and what it would be saying is it's possible for people to be so caught up in their sin that they're not willing to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. They're not willing to go to church. They're not willing to pray. They're not willing to listen to another Christian or listen to a Christian. Larry Moyer, back in 89, had an article in his toolbox where he took that view, and I wrote an article back in 89 where I refer to that as an option. So that is a possible option.
So to put it another way, Jesus is saying these things can be an impediment to faith.
They could be. It's not that you have to turn from your sins to be born again. It's just sometimes people are so addicted to their sin that they're unwilling to be open to the truth. And I'm somewhat inclined here toward the temporal judgment view, but I'm still a bit of an agnostic on the issue of Gehenna. It's just there's so few occurrences, and it's not crystal clear. I like going back to Jenna's point at the beginning. Whatever this means, it doesn't contradict John 3:16, John 5:24. It's great for us to know that we are sure that we are eternally secure, as Jenna mentioned, because Jesus said, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die," John 11:26, and that we'll never hunger and never thirst, John 6:35, we'll never perish, John 3:16. If we ever come across a passage like this one that confuses us, we can pray about it, we can learn their various options. But we always understand the difficult passages in light of the clear. So stand on the clear passages of Scripture. I hope that helps, and keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His Word to guide you in daily living.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to explore the topic of spiritual death. So, tune in. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.